Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about how to keep a healthy marriage. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, dear listeners, to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking with Sheikh Shafiq Huda about how we should keep and have a healthy marriage. Very important discussion in today's time. Why don't we go ahead and invite our guest and start our discussion. Sheikh Shafiq Huda, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, dear Sayyid. I am honored and pleased to be with you today. And I want to appreciate and thank our viewers. Assalamu alaikum jamia wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon all of you.
Jazakallah, Sheikh. It's really our honor to have you. I know in your really busy schedule, you took time out to come and offer us these words of wisdom and insight, really, which are very beneficial to many of us, if not all of us, for sure. On today's talk show, we really wanted to focus on marital relationships, on marriage, right? On one hand, we see that Islam has put so much emphasis on
Absolutely.
Marriage to the point where some of the traditions regarding marriage are quite scary, you know, that, for example, most of the people, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he says that most of the people from my ummah who are going to be in hell are the unmarried ones.
Unmarried, correct.
And on the other hand, you have in tashwiq or in promoting marriage, you have traditions where it says that if you get married, 2/3 of your iman, your faith has been protected.
Correct.
The last third you have to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And even with having children, it is so much, you know, highly encouraged. But still, despite this very kind of romantic view of marriage and this kind of euphoria and utopian society,
yes,
sometimes we find that the reality on the ground is a little bit different. Marriage
Absolutely.
Is difficult, marriage is tough, marriage is trying, it's
yes.
a test. And so we wanted to ask you is how can we, in the modern day, with all the different things that are going on, have a healthy and happy marriage in the name of Allah?
Dear Sayyid, you really opened up a few cans there, and it's going to be very difficult,
right.
if not impossible, for me to tell, because the issue of children is again another very significant one, which perhaps
yes.
we can discuss on another in another discussion.
Sure.
But I think what you suggested as the topic of maintaining
right.
or creating a healthy and a happy marriage is something that's really going to be important for our talk today, if that is okay with you.
Yes.
And you know, there is, as you mentioned, a fairy tale image in the minds of many people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to wait. The girl wants to wait for the Prince Charming to take her away and you know, sweep her off her feet, and the boy wants to have his own you know, Sleeping Beauty or Snow White, and take him away into as you said, a utopia. And then we realize that we wake up and things are not always happily ever after, and it's not like once upon a time. It's really, really different.
Sure.
And I think that when we realize the realities, we can still make a marriage made in heaven, a blessed relationship, a happy marriage, and a union that is, again, you know, beneficial for our own existence in this world. This is one of the reasons why the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his family,
mm-hmm.
and the A'immah, the Imams, alayhi wasalam, peace be upon them all, emphasized it so much.
Yes.
This is a way of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a way of fulfilling the needs that we have in this dunya,
mm-hmm.
Both spiritually as well as physically.
Because
yes. we have been created not just of body, but we have a spirit inside us as well.
Yes.
So, you know, the physical is very easy to fulfill, but the spiritual is where the challenge lies. Oftentimes, and you know, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've been able to perform and solemnize marriages over the last 25 plus years. And one of the things that I have said almost at every opportunity that I get, whenever they've asked me to say a few words, is a challenge to a statement that is always made about marriage.
Okay.
The people say, what, marriage is give and take. Marriage is give and take. Marriage. Everybody says that. Marriage is give and take. And I go to the mic and I say, no, don't go into the marriage with the idea of marriage is give and take. The minute you do that, you've made it like a business transaction, a mu'amilat.
Right.
I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this much money. Give me this abba. Mm. I'm going to buy a shirt. This is how much it costs. I'm going to buy shoes. You know, you have a give and take. I'm giving you money. You give me this. This is not what marriage is.
And sometimes it's take and give.
Well,
instead of give and take.
Well, the way I explain it, I said marriage is give.
Right.
Marriage is give. Because if you go into the marriage with the idea of give and take, okay, I'm going to vacuum the house. What are you going to do for me?
Right.
The lady will think, I'm cooking a good meal. What are you going to do for me? Because it's give and take. That's what people have been told.
Right.
But if you do something, I'm giving, I'm doing this, I'm doing the laundry, I'm looking after the children, I'm cooking the food, I'm giving. It's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
For the sake of Allah, yes.
Then there's no expectation. Right. The reason why we have problems in our marriages, dear Sayyid, is because we have expectations.
Right.
I expected this and you didn't fulfill it. Conflicts, problems, fights and what have you. So if I go into a marriage and I put something in without an expectation, and the expectation is only from Allah, Allah will reward me.
Sure.
Khalas, Allah will reward me. I don't need to worry about her saying thank you, or she doesn't have to worry about him saying thank you. I mean, of course, our akhlaq is to appreciate.
Right.
Our morals and values and etiquettes is to appreciate our spouses. There's no doubts about that. They are a very valuable amanat, a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. The children are now amana from Allah to us. But at the same time, we need to appreciate, but don't create the appreciation as the expectation or as the be-all and end-all of everything.
Because, well, I just want to add here, because what happens is, is that this is where conflict begins.
Absolutely.
Right? So if already in your mind, first off, you have this kind of give type of persona, where I will do whatever I can, you know, as a husband, and then the spouse does whatever she can. She gives as much as she can. I give as much as I can.
Okay.
Right? So now there's this common understanding. But when this expectation comes in, then people's feelings start to get hurt. Why didn't he say thank you?
Exactly.
Why didn't she say thank you? She should have said thank you.
Exactly.
Then that slowly boils up into a conflict, becomes a fight. And then this is why we're saying that to keep the expectations to a certain minimum level.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is why when people get married, either they've fallen in love and they've gotten married, or they were introduced and they had, a meeting was arranged. I don't like to talk about arranged marriages. This is something that is a very interesting and a controversial topic, especially in the Western countries. So, Islam has never allowed or accepted arranged marriages, forced marriages, arranged meetings, or somebody you fell in love with in school, in university.
I mean, I think the arranged marriage is okay, right?
Yes.
But the forced marriage,
That
where the husband and wife, they don't look at each other, they don't know each other. Then, I agree with you. But this arranged, because sometimes, I know I got a lot of heat for arranged marriages as well. But what my humble response used to be was, listen, most of the time, mothers and fathers and these elders of the community, they have a very different look onto what a healthy marriage will be in the future.
Absolutely.
As compared to me, a young guy looking for love and fun and somebody to go to the cinema with and these kind of things, but please continue. You were saying expectations.
And this is where we create that environment of we need to take this fairy tale image out of our minds and understand what is the real full purpose of marriage. Okay. You're looking at somebody who you want to spend time with, spend the rest of your life with, inshallah. It's somebody who will be a good parent to your children, inshallah, the next generation, and somebody who will help you get to be a better person, a better abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where we often need to put our thoughts and focus on.
Sure.
And when we're getting married, this is why, as you mentioned so beautifully, that our iman is safeguarded. We have to remain cognizant of the remaining part of our iman. We are told that our salat multiplies by 70 times, our ibadat increases, the people of heaven are majority of those who are married, inshallah. And so when we look at all these hadith and we put them into perspective, then we are able to, inshallah, put effort into the marriage. Just like anything else in life, we need to put effort in it. And a marriage is no different. A marriage needs to have effort put into it. A marriage needs to have, you know, our sweat, our blood, our efforts to be put into it to make it successful. It's like a plant. It's like a flower growing. You know, you need to water it. You need to give it sunshine. You need to give it a lot of things. You need to even talk to it.
Sure.
That's one of the things that people have, you know, with this internet.
Social media world.
We're chatting. And you know, it's not a joke. I've actually seen some spouses text each other, come downstairs for dinner, you know, come upstairs for dinner, get out of the office or do this or that, instead of just going to the door and saying, you know, honey, come up. And, you know,
I mean, Sheikh, I want to just, because, I mean, you know, you said this, and but it really is very powerful. And a lot of people don't understand this, that this lack of conversation, it really creates distance between spouses.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we're so stuck into this whole social media and this whole internet and these kind of things that we don't understand the negative impacts of not talking to the spouse, not talking to the children.
Absolutely.
You know, you had said in one of the previous talk shows that during the dinner table, you do not allow any kind of electronic device.
Absolutely.
You know, the first day you might not know what to say. The second day you'll start to open up and listen. But this aspect of it's very important to have a conversation with your spouse.
And not only that, but if you look at the example of the Ahlul Bayt, something as basic as Hadith-e Qissa that we recite, you know, on a regular basis at weddings, we're talking about healthy marriages and all that, you know, all the weddings that I go to, they usually have Hadith-e Qissa. Sadly, often it is a time filler. Maulana is late, the Sheikh is late, or the Sayyid is late.
Yeah.
Let's do Hadith-e Qissa instead of actually having it as a part of the program or the agenda. And if you look at the Hadith-e Qissa, we get a lesson from there. You know, we just recite it as a traditional thing. We don't give, we don't pay attention to it very seriously.
Sure.
But what does Amirul Mu'mineen do? He enters, you know, after Imam Hassan, the Prophet has entered, Imam Hassan has entered, Imam Hussein, these are their children. They were, you know, how do they greet? What do they do?
Right.
As-salamu alayki ya ummah, peace be upon your mother. As-salamu alayki ya kurrataini wa thamarata fu'adi, you know, peace be upon you, O light of my eyes, sunshine of my life, and what have you. A very beautiful way. So the children enter, they go to the Prophet and they sit with him and they come into the kisah. But the important part when we're talking about today's discussion on a healthy marriage is how Amirul Mu'mineen enters the house. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib, the bravest man in the Arabian Peninsula, the greatest lion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody who has, you know, fought battles, been successful single-handedly, the right hand of the Holy Prophet of Islam, you know, a person whose name, when people used to just say Ali ibn Abi Talib, people would be shaking.
Right.
That Ali, he enters the house. How does he greet his wife? He doesn't slam the door and say, oh, where's my food? Where's my slippers? Where's my newspaper? You know, somehow I've actually gone to places where sometimes the men enter like that. And as a result, you know, the woman responds in the same way. You know, you enter like a tiger, she'll become a tigress. He comes in, assalamu alayki ya binti Rasulullah. Very a term of endearment,
respect.
A loving term. He doesn't say, assalamu alaykum Fatima. Assalamu alayki ya binti Rasulullah.
Right.
And because that respect, that love, that endearment, that ihtiram, you know, that tone of respect is there, how does she respond to him as well? Wa alayka salam ya Abu al-Hasan, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, oftentimes we find spices don't, you know, they don't, they'll use their first names, they'll use, you know, people will use terms of endearment for their secretary or for outside, for non-mihram, for ghayra mihram. But with their wife, they'll just use her first name. The wife will use the first name for the husband.
Or hey.
Or hey. Listen. So no. Yeah. And as a result, you know, it's like a snowball.
It breaks down. Yeah.
You know, it's a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger because you don't even realize it at times.
Right.
And you see how Imam Ali, the important thing is Imam Ali has a lot of stress. He's working on a farm. He's in the heat. He's been doing 10,000 things. And yet when he comes into the door, he leaves the problems outside. The baggage, as they say, the baggage in English, we'd say, the baggage is left outside and he comes inside fresh. This is another important aspect.
Can I add the reciprocal side to this? So for example, you don't see, Lady Fatima Zahra alayha salam do the same thing. The kids have been yelling all day long and there's no food in the house, there's no potatoes, it's almost like, and it was that whole idea of give.
Yes,
in this sense, is give the other person a sense of peace.
Exactly.
I won't bring up all of these different, you know, things with
not
me.
Not now, inside. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk
yeah.
about it later. But right. I mean, don't hide it. Don't right. don't neglect it.
Yes.
Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mean
sure.
to
interject. No, go ahead.
Said.
No, yeah.
So yeah, don't, I, you know, of course, the communication has to be there. And as you said, communication has to be honest, frank, but, you know, not right away.
Right.
You see, another big problem that I've sensed in our families, dear Sayyid,
yes.
and I'm sure our viewers will appreciate this and understand this, is that our tolerance level and our patience level is very compromised.
Yes.
We don't have the patience that we need to have, the sabr that we have.
Trigger finger.
Absolutely. You know, we're just ready to, like little time bombs, ready to explode at any moment. And you know something? The irony or the hypocrisy, if you want to call it that, is that work, I'm okay. The boss will put 10 pressures on me because I want to keep my job. I want to keep my position, my seniority. Mm-hmm. So I won't explode at the big guy, the boss there. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till I come home. And that's what I'll burst out. This is the problem. Our sabr and our tolerance.
Well, along these lines, because I remember you had said something that was, again, very profound. What's interesting, I think, is that, you had said something that was very profound in the previous talk show, and that was that you put a dinner plate as a seventh person. You have a sixth
member family.
Member family, mashallah, may Allah protect them all.
Jazakallah.
And then you put a seventh plate, which represents the plate for Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance.
Yes.
And that kind of, like, for this certain amount of time, is this training to be able to, you know, sense that, no, that individual really is there. I think here, because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of pressure, there's, you know, financial problems at home,
yes.
you know, it's difficult to make ends meet, and then children have their own problems, work
yes.
problems, you know, house problems. Really, there's a lot of tension and pressure here. I don't know, what I thought was, if we took your advice, and when you're coming into the house, or when you are feeling like, I'm just going to blow up, you know, if you were to imagine that the Imam of the time is standing next to you.
Yes, yes.
How that would change the relationship.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, if we remember the Imam practically. You see, it's one thing to remember the Imam mentally and spiritually and in our minds, emotionally. But when we physically think that, okay, well, what is the Imam going to expect of me? What does the Imam expect of me? How does the Imam expect me to treat my wife? How does the Imam expect my wife to treat me, for example? A lot of these, I mean, 70%. Of these issues, problems, we can be solved almost, you can say, automatically.
Sure.
Not that they'll be solved, that the, you know, the financial problems or the other emotional problems, or, you know, my kid got suspended from school, this happened, and and oftentimes families say, you know, when the kid does something really horrible, this is your son, this is your child.
This is your.
You know,
this
I didn't bring him from the bazaar. I didn't bring him, and he does something good. son did this. These are the kinds of emotional things or practical things that we have to really, you know, put a check and balance in our minds of.
Right,
you know,
right.
If they do good, they're both of ours. If they do bad, they are still both of ours. The
right.
child belongs to both of us. And so, you know, children become a source of conflict. Financial issues become a source of conflict. Sometimes, you know, both spouses have to work. The wife might have to go out and work as well. In many of the Western societies, in North America, in Europe, we find that many wives are working out,
yes.
which has created an additional stress and attention on the family. Some say that, well, we can't make the mortgage payments. We can't make the credit card payments. We can't make the car payments. Now what do we do? And you know, these are things that need to be, you know, communicated to mm-hmm. each other. Okay, we have a certain budget. We have, you know, a certain amount of money. We might be able to, you know, get a bonus here or there. How do we want to allocate it? Do
sure.
we want to maintain the lifestyle? You know, a lot of families, dear Sayyid, are going into debt because they want to live a lifestyle of this and their income is this. And see
that
gap becomes credit card debt, becomes, you know, bank debt.
And this is where I wanted to talk a little bit, and I know we won't be able to open a lot of the, you know, actual variables in it, but this whole idea of this Western lifestyle and how the Western, you know, free market capitalism has created an environment where, so for example, back in the, you know, probably 40s or 50s or something, when this women's liberation movement and all this kind of, you know, mumbo jumbo came out, they took the wife, they took the woman out of the house and made her as a commodity to work in the workplace, which has continued over the years up to the point where before it was only the disenfranchised that had to go to work. Now it's almost everybody. Every husband and wife, almost all of them have to go out and work. I don't know. I feel like Islam has such a beautiful solution for so many of these things, which is in contrast to what the free market capitalist, you know, Western civilization is putting forth, which is just taking us towards worse times, if you want to comment on
that. And there's no doubt, you know, the whole women's liberation movement is a topic that would need a whole session for, because, you know, what they have called liberation has actually been enslavement. It's not liberation, and this has to be understood by our respected viewers very clearly. But like I said, you know, today we want to talk about the marriage and how to maintain that healthy, happy household. You know, we still have a number of sisters in our community that still feel that, you know, no, my job is in the home. And I'm not one to say that women should only be in the home. They should only be cooking, cleaning, and looking after the children, doing the laundry. I'm not one to say that. I want to say that what is the expectation of you, and what is going to make you happy, and what is going to be the ultimate result or benefit for the household as a whole. You see, we need to then look at it not from a unison point of view, not from a unilateral point of view, but a multilateral point of view. Sure. What is going to be beneficial for the whole household? You see, even when we look at the various nation states that we do, the countries that we do, what is good for the whole country? Not just what is good for our province or our city or our region or our state.
Yes.
What is going to be the ultimate benefit for the entire, you know, region and country? So something might be beneficial for one, but, you know, this beneficial
harmful,
for another.
Harmful for
and when you look at the overall picture, this is what we feel. You know, oftentimes when I am doing tax forms for couples, you know, sometimes this benefit might work here and this benefit might work there. So I sit down, I said, look, I can get this benefit for you, and this benefit for you, and you guys will get this and this much. But I said, if I do this and I shift the benefit to here, your overall picture will be a lot better, and your overall will be a lot more fruitful and beneficial. So somebody might have to pay tax, but this one will get a bigger refund than the combined amount that I would have.
So we're looking at this overall.
The overall picture.
I just wanted to bring one more, because I know you were kind of in a rush. You're on a tight schedule. But there's one thing, and it's connected to this whole Western civilization, the Western, you know, viewpoint, this kind of, Western viewpoint. A lot of times we see that couples, when they go outside of their house, they put on their best clothes, their Sunday best, as it says, right? The perfume and the cologne and the makeup, and, you know, they look like models. But inside the house is the complete opposite. They look like paupers. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on how this also has a negative impact on a marriage.
Well, this is one thing that we look at. You know, I often get people asking me, is makeup halal? Is this allowed? Is nail polish allowed? I says, it's absolutely allowed. And the people are shocked at me. I say, there's a precursor to that. And that caveat is, who are you doing it for? If it's for your husband, for your son, for your father, mashallah, Allah will give you a great reward for it.
Right.
But if you're doing it to attract, and this also applies to the men as well. If I'm putting on perfume to attract a namahram, or if I'm wearing a nice shirt just because I want X, Y, and Z, who's a namahram, to look at me, you know, in an attractive mode or pose, obviously that is haram. There's no ifs, buts, or ands about it. I'm not a maraja, I'm not a mujtahid. I'm quoting the maraja and the mujtahideen who have said this.
Yes.
So don't please get that.
And
one of the things that I actually, whenever I've had to counsel spouses, one of the things that I insist and I emphasize is that at least, once a week, wear your best clothes inside the house. What you would want to wear at your family gathering, at your party, at a women's gathering or the men's gathering, or this or that, whatever is your best outfit, at least once a week. Juma is the best day to do this. Do that. Make it welcoming for each other. And every single day, for your husband when you come into the house, or the husband for his wife when he comes into the house, make sure you keep a little spray with you, a little, you know, smell nice. Don't smell like, you know, you've just come from a garbage bin, or, you know, you're full of sweat. And I know cooking is not difficult, is not easy. Having worked out is not easy. But when you come into the house, don't be smelling like a toilet seat, you know. Just, you know, you want to make sure that you are attractive.
Yeah, that's what it is. It comes down to looking attractive for the spouse, of course, because it's a special relationship. And really, I mean, you said it well. Is at least once a week.
Absolutely.
And eventually, you'll get used to it. You know.
Absolutely.
To look nice inside the house as compared to looking nice outside.
Absolutely. And say, you know, sometimes people often say that, oh, we can't afford a new outfit every Juma. We can't afford. And I said, remember one thing. Who's asked you to buy a new outfit?
Yeah.
You have a dress or an outfit that is cleaned, wash it the day before, alhamdulillah, or whatever, and, you know, go into your drawer. And
Sheikh, people have a lot of clothes. They were just looking for an excuse to bother you. I mean, people did, you know.
Well, we get lots of interesting questions over there.
Sheikh Shafiq, yes. I think, again, you know, the second the talk show has kind of ran out of time.
Thank you.
I wish we would have more time. I mean, if you want to give kind of a summary type thing or a kind of a really piece of advice for couples out there on how to have a healthy marriage, even though you've said a lot, but I still want to give you the last word.
Just thank you, dear Sayyid. Just to summarize it, I think that we need to leave, when we come home, we need to leave our baggage outside, increase our sabr, our patience, and our tolerance level, be understanding, be kinder to our spouses as we are kind to others outside, and make ourselves attractive for each other, for the each spouse makes themselves
physically
attractive.
Physically and spiritually.
Physically is the important thing, because that is where then the next day is the spiritual, because then that will fall into place. And when we remember that marriage has got a purpose that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, the Quran talks about how rizq will increase when you get married, how your barakah, your blessings will increase from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are ways that we can, inshallah, God willing, make a happy, healthy, fruitful marriage and a lasting marriage. And when the marriage is happy and fruitful, dear Sayyid, then the next generation, the children, will also be happy and healthy. There will always be conflicts. Remember, you know, my mother used to always say, whenever there's two dishes, they will always clash or clang with each other. There's nobody saying there won't be fights. But how you fight, how you have your arguments, it's really important. And not to let those arguments overcome and, you know, make us succumb to them. Keep ourselves in control and make sure that we remember that what tests we have, what patience we will be having, is what will determine our reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are a lot of times, dear Sayyid, I tell couples whenever I have to counsel them, not every battle is worth fighting. Not every battle. There are certain battles you have to just let them go. And believe me, this has helped a lot of people, alhamdulillah. Thanks be to Allah. So, you know, just not every battle is worth fighting. The ones that are worth fighting, you know, talk about it at night when you're in the privacy of your room. Children are not there. Others are not there. Sometimes you have extended families. Don't fight in front of anybody. This is your personal relationship. This is your personal, you know, mantle with each other. Keep it inside there. That is imperative. Don't talk to outsiders about your problems. Don't go and tell, oh, guess what my wife is like? Guess what my wife did? Or the husband goes and the wife says, oh, you know, my husband did this today. You know, outsiders are just waiting for an opportunity to create fitna and gossip and what have you. So I'm hoping that this will help, inshallah, all of our families, including ourselves and our viewers, our respected viewers. Thank you so much.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, Sheikh Shafiq Udar, for joining us on the talk show. May Allah bless you. And we hope to see you on another talk show soon.
My honor,
inshallah.
And pleasure.
Thank you. Dear viewers, thank you for joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show. We're talking about how we can have a healthy marriage, inshallah, until another talk show. Fi amanillah and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.